It's great to see everybody here tonight. I'm just really thankful that we have another opportunity to hear from the Word of God and put our hands on the Word of God and get the work out and get the Word going forward, because that's what it needs to do. And we're just we're praising the Lord. As you look around, I know James pointed out these boxes several times. I don't think you could have missed them. You know, they're up here in front like this, and so they're here, and we are making headway. Last night when we got to the service, we were about 55%. I'd say we're probably close to 80-85% now done. If you notice it, yeah, amen. You know, all the signatures are up off the floor. We got this side of the room put back together. The collating is done. We still have a lot of rolling and other processing to get done. We'll talk more about that at the end of the service. But let me just kind of give you just a real quick count. I won't go down through all the Bibles. I would encourage you, if you haven't had a chance to look at these covers, one of the things, the really awesome things about what we do when we assemble scripture like this is we get to identify a people group, and I use that term intentionally, because every time that we want to do something, we're trying to reach a people. And so each one of these Bibles is a people group. Some of them are particular people group by language. Some of them are a people group by occupation. Some of them are a people group by their circumstance. And, you know, they got over here on the far right over here, we've got these Bibles that we call the Freedom Bibles, Freedom from the Bondage of Sin. Those are Bibles for people who are in circumstances right now or in bondage to the government because they've broken the law, but God wants to restore them. Those Bibles are for them. We got Bibles down here for Spanish-speaking people, because every person in the world needs to know about Jesus Christ. We've got Bibles over here for veterans we want them to know that God loves them. In times when those men may think that where was God when I needed him and he wasn't there, we can tell them God really was there and God does care. And so these Bibles are important. Every box of Bibles is important. Every Bible that is yet to be finished and put into a box is important. But right now we're at 7,592. That's an incredible number. That's a record, by the way. And we're not done yet. Amen. And so I just want to thank all of you for working, for being here whenever you can. For those that aren't here tonight but have been here, I just praise the Lord for every one of them, for the Christian schools that came in the last couple of days. Before I step down, though, I just want to mention two things. First off, I sent out an email this morning. I don't know what time I sent it out, but just an update on some couple of missionaries. One of them was Manuel Estebani down in Juarez. He's having surgery again tomorrow. It's the second round. He had cancer, and so he's having another surgery. So be in prayer for him tomorrow. Just lift him up if you could. And then also Pastor Ganesh in Mumbai. You know, they've been having a lot of problems there, lots of heavy rains, flooding, all kinds of stuff like that. But on top of all of that, his daughter Angelina is in the hospital tonight, and they're not exactly sure what's wrong with her. She's got some really high fevers. They don't know if exactly what's going on, so they're doing some blood work to try to figure that out. So be in prayer for Ganesh, his family, and all of Mumbai, and of course for Manuel especially.
Well, welcome once again. I know we've had some introductory things going on, so my job is to introduce our next speaker, and we are glad that you all are here tonight. And thank you so much for being part of this week. As Randy says, I just can't say enough about it. And, man, that was beautiful singing. I was encouraged tonight in the word and that we've heard and the song to the Lord and the word that we see before us. And we're getting ready to hear the word of God preached to us. And I'm looking forward to that. As I listened to those ladies sing, I was thinking about our local churches and how God has brought us together around the assembly. And then, of course, the sending. We'll get to that tomorrow night, right? We're going to get the word out. It's going to go from here. So we've gathered together to assemble the word of God, and it's coming together in really just absolutely incredible fashion. It's been smooth this year. A few hiccups here and there, but nothing major, nothing to really cause any great problems. When there's been problems, God's given us grace. And, you know, grace lubricates our relationships, doesn't it? It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's the goodness of God and his grace that, you know, we get saved by grace through faith. And it's so awesome to just know the good hand of the Lord's upon you, and he's working in and through you. And even the difficult things become a lot more tenable whenever we know God's good hand is upon us, and he's allowing us to go through it. And to get us through it, he will. If he brought us to it, right, he'll get us through it. And so this is a great, this is just a great moment for, I know for the Bible team, with the Word First team, you guys have really just poured your life into this ministry, and I'm encouraged at the volume of Bibles and the specific nature in which we're sending these. And as I was getting ready to say, as I was watching these ladies sing, I just thought of all of our local churches coming together and how someday we're like those ladies, we're just singing in harmony, right, to the Lord. That's what's going to happen. We're going to be glorifying God for the work that he will do in and through these Bibles. When we pray over these tomorrow night, when we finish up what we have left to do and we pack everything away, these Bibles are going to go. And we're going to be praying that God uses them specifically to accomplish his mission and his power for his glory. And someday when we get to glory, we're going to look back and, man, we're all going to be in unison. And we're going to be singing to the Lord, both individually, collectively. We know God does keep account of not only the individual account, but the local churches and our participation in his mission. And so it's going to be an incredible thing to give glory to God and to give him praise and honor. And it's going to be beautiful. I'm looking forward to that. And so I'm also looking forward to our next speaker, and that is Tom Brockmeyer. Tom Brockmeyer is he's a dear friend of mine. He and Chris, I knew Chris before I was saved, kind of, and it wasn't good. But she knew of me, and then I got saved, and they got saved. And, man, it's so awesome. God's had us go around the world together, and they've traveled to here and there and gone to Nepal. They have really just been an incredible encouragement to me personally, just watching God work in Tom's life, going from, you know, construction deacon to now pastor, missions pastor, Harvest Baptist Church in Blue Springs. Yeah, he's done a good work. And come on up here, bro. And I'm excited to hear from this brother. So if you've not heard from Tom, or you don't know Tom and Chris, you need to get to know them. They are an incredible blessing. So give him some love, and brother, you preach the word to
Praise
us.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, man. I don't think I've ever been on stage behind this many thousands of Bibles. I mean, you know, the scripture says that, you know, we have the mind of Christ. I mean, this is like, I feel like taking a nesty plunge into the word. This is a blessing. Praise the Lord. I was reminded this week, as I love documentaries. I don't know, maybe it's an over 50 thing, you know, but I do enjoy them. And I turned one on this week from Adoniram Judson. And just the thought of this conference this week, hearing all the labor that's gone into this, there was just three words about what I was thinking as I'm sitting there. Randy's given a report, wherever Randy went, about 7,000. What was the count? 7,000? 7,500. Huh? 7,500. But at the beginning of I was listening to about Adoniram, and they spoke about it. You know, he translated the Bible in Burmese, but spent for God. Spent for God. Three words, spent for God. And so I know that this doesn't come easy. And there's a lot of labor, there's a lot of time, there's a lot of effort that goes into this. But man, you know how cool it's going to be to stand before the Lord? Lord, I was spent for you during that conference. Hallelujah. Man, I mean, that's a rejoicing. So, all right. Now, the sound booth, they gave me a challenge tonight. So normally I can barely keep up with my notes. I'm going to try to advance the slides and keep up with my notes. They should have spoke with my wife before they gave me that task. But I do thank you for the opportunity to share tonight. I feel at home here. Your hospitality is always refreshing. Man, I mean, I've been in your homes. I've ate your barbecue. I've sat on your couches. We've traveled around. I thank you for that. I thank you for making me feel like family here. I have family here. You guys are family, and we're just a big extended body of Christ. Thank you for your participation in this conference. And in the brief amount of time we have together, I want to try and communicate. I don't even know how you can adequately do this in the brief time that we have tonight, but how can I communicate the abundant benefits of God's grace in our lives that we received at salvation? I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to talk to you about grace tonight. And then I want to share briefly about God's mercy. And I'm going to end with just the words of life, talking about the words of life, testifying of what God has done just with this Bible ministry around the world and will continue to do. I mean, this is, I feel like we're just beginning. And so bear with me as we go through this tonight. I'm just reminded, and I want to remind you that God wasn't just a creator. He wasn't just an awesome architect, but he was an author, right? And he left us a book, and we're all about it. It's words of life. It's our hope. Now, here's the thing. I get to set out with you guys periodically at Harvest. We have a couple services, so when I can sit out there, I try to. I want to ask you, you know what? Turn your cellular data off. Turn your Wi-Fi off. Turn off all those distractions that would hinder the Holy Spirit from allowing you to receive this message on grace and mercy and the importance of the word of life in your life. I'm actually the guy, you know, sitting there looking over your shoulder, wondering why is he checking his Facebook right now, you know. No, we won't have that tonight. All the 85% done. So the Bible team, you know what? You guys don't even have to think about the cutter. You don't have to worry about, man, do I need to adjust this afterward? What's the temperature of that glue right now? Man, forget about all that for just the next few minutes. So let me open us in a quick word of prayer, and we'll try to get through this together. Lord, thank you for tonight. Holy Spirit, help me. God, how can I communicate your grace to this church body effectively? God, I'm overwhelmed by it. So I just pray that you would lead us in your word tonight. Encourage us, Lord, of all the benefits that we have in you. So Holy Spirit, would you please help us now in this time together? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, if you would be turning in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. But I do want to begin tonight with a key thought, and that thought is that God has given us all we need in this life to finish faithful, okay? God has given us all we need in this life to finish faithful. I think it will take an eternity to fully understand the full impact of God's grace, mercy, and truth. I believe in the ages to come, we will continue to talk about this thing of grace and mercy forever. It's going to take an eternity to give God the adequate praise due his name for what he's given us through Jesus Christ and his word. I never assume anytime when I'm speaking to a crowd this size, just because we're at a Bible conference, that everyone here is born again, that everyone has experienced this grace and this mercy and this truth that I'm talking about. So I would ask if that's you, you know what, listen to this message tonight, and then you too can make an informed decision based on the truth of the Word of God that your eternity will be set. You can know you got a home in heaven. You can know the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's get started on this topic of grace, and for me, the best way. Usage determines definition, right, Bible students? I mean, by the usage of the word, we determine definition. And I think many times in Christian circles, we hear a lot of things about God's grace. For me, I'm just, man, what does the Bible say? I like to default there first. And I'd like to give you some just examples from just studying the word grace through the Old Testament and New Testament, what the Bible says about that word. I know Heartland has several ways here to equip the body of Christ. I know you have discipleship. You've got your Bible Institute classes. You've got the teaching and preaching of the word. And so I hope that you guys are taking heed to those things. You're taking advantage to the benefit that you have in your pastors and teachers here, and that one day, you will be the next teacher, preacher, missionary that we can be sending out. So amen to that, pastors, right? let's send them out. Okay, so quick word study, and we'll roll into this. The Old Testament describes, if you were just to take a simple concordance, Mr. Strong's, his lifetime work, I love it. But if you were to take your concordance and just look up the word grace in your Bible, you would find 69 times, and I'm going to have to, 69 times you would find grace in the Old Testament. It would be used in the word as grace, favor, gracious, pleasant, well-favored. In the New Testament, 156 times that same word would be used as grace again, of course, favor, thank and thanks, pleasure, acceptable, benefit, gift, joy, liberality, thanked and thanked worthy. The benefit, the favor, the graciousness, the pleasure, the gift that we have with grace. I don't know how many of you think about that. I think it's we use the word a lot as we talk to one another. But when you get in and you study out grace in your Bible and you realize the blessing and the gift that we have from God, it's amazing. And so I hope that we can. I'm gonna need your help. I'm gonna need your help here. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, first of all. I want to start off with a warning. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. There's a warning in 2 Corinthians about the church receiving the grace of God in vain, that we've received this great gift of grace, but it's in vain. We don't use it. We have never exercised it. We live defeated. Someone is out to rob you of that joy, to rob you of that benefit, to rob you of all that is in God's grace. Don't let it be in vain. Don't let it be for nothing. For no good use, wasted, never experienced or exercised, all for nothing, all for loss. Everything you need in your Christian life to live successfully, God has given you through his grace. If we were to take a moment, and if the person sitting next to you would want you to describe God's grace, how could you in a sentence say God has shown me favor by blank, or God has shown me his grace by how would you describe to your coworker, to your friend, to your family, grace? And I guess I would ask, just for the next 30 seconds, and I don't know how interactive you guys are on a Tuesday night, in the middle of a Bible conference, but can you talk with thinking about, take one of these words out of the Old Testament or the New Testament for grace, and talk to your neighbor about your experience of grace. Can you tell your neighbor how God has shown you grace in your life? Just take a few moments and do that. So grace, grace in a sentence, right? How do you describe that? I know for me, you know what? I was far from God. Grace found me in a cemetery. I wasn't seeking God when he sought me out. Grace found me February 10th, 1980, and drew me through the word of God to the point of salvation, brought joy into my life, brought benefits that I've never gotten over. A new life began at that point. Grace showed me favor. Grace found me. I don't understand that kind of love, but I praise the Lord that it did, and I hope that you can testify to the same. Don't let that grace be in vain, because walking in victory, it's not complicated. But I would say walking in victory is not complicated as long as your spiritual life is not compromised, right? As long as you don't compromise your spiritual life, to walk in victory is easy, because God has thoroughly equipped us to do that. You know, you might say, Tom, I know about grace. I know about what you're talking about. I understand salvation. I remember that time in my life when Jesus found me and that grace came in for the first time. But my flesh, that old sin nature, or is it all three of them? Is it the world, the flesh, and the devil? They war against me. They try to rob it away. I know Ephesians 6:12 says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Okay, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Somebody is out to steal that joy, to steal that grace, to steal those benefits away from you. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. So God isn't concerned with fixing up your old man, okay? God just isn't concerned about your old man. He's dead, the old man, that is. The old man is dead. So don't give the old man that much attention, that much glory in your life. So many times we think that we can add that you know, we need to fix the flat tire, or we need to repair the broken down barn. No, God says that old man is dead. Matter of fact, he says in Romans 6 and in chapter 1, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive through Jesus Christ our Lord. Your old sin nature has no more power over you. It was defeated the moment you asked Jesus Christ into your heart and life. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that, right? I'm dead to what? What am I dead to? You're dead to whatever, to that sin that does so easily beset you to draw you away from God. You know that? You need to say that often in a day. I'm dead to that. I have to tell, you know, my old man is dead. I am dead to that. I have new life in Jesus Christ. But you have to remind yourself daily, continually, that you're no longer bound to that old man, because Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. So I'm dead to that. You guys, I mean, you need to use that probably before you go home tonight. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, I'm dead to that, you know. I'm going to walk in victory. I'm going to walk in this new life of Jesus Christ. See here. Like the character, you guys familiar with the John Bunyan story, Pilgrim's Progress? It just had a big thing, went out. They just remade the series and have broadcasted it all over. We had a watch party with a bunch of people from our church. Had a great time. It's an allegory of the Christian life. If you haven't read the book or saw the movie, I'd encourage you to do it. But like the character named Christian in John Bunyan's classic Pilgrim's Progress, I think many times we find ourselves trapped in a cage of despair, feeling hopeless. We find ourselves trapped. My feeling or my problem would be, oh, how I feel depressed and alone. My flesh tells me, Tom, you know, there, no hope. You need to just slow down. You need to rethink what you're doing. You need to just pursue this world and the things of the world. But the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God says that, hey, Tom, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Psalms 42:11. Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Whatever that thing is, whatever that sin is, whatever that despair, when it comes knocking at your door, whatever that sin is that knocks and so easily besets you, you need to open up the scripture and wage war with your flesh. Tell yourself you're dead to that. Apply the word of God, and it will do the work. I mean, I think we say all the time, and it truly is that simple, read your Bible and pray, right? Well, I say believe, read your Bible, but believe that you're holding the words of truth and words of life, and God's word is enough. You are thoroughly equipped to deal with that old man and that sin nature, and all you have to do is apply scripture to that and see victory over that sin. If you're here today and you know that you're born again, we got a new landlord. Amen. We got a new landlord. His name's Jesus Christ. And I say landlord because we do know that this life's not our own. We were bought with a price. We were bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:20. Therefore, glorify God. No doubt you will have to constantly remind that old slumlord Satan that he's been evicted. He has no more authority in your life now. 1 Peter 5:8 warns us and reminds us to be on the lookout for this guy. Be sober, be vigilant because your adversary, right? He's constantly, I mean, I'm dead to that. And man, I've got the verse on my computer. I've got it on my mirror. I've been in the Word. I'm prayed up, and it just seems like he's crafty, man. I mean, about the time you get him, you think you got the door boarded up and you got it covered. I mean, he's sneaking around the side of the building. He's looking for a cracked window. He's trying to regain possession in your life. He doesn't like the fact that old man is dead and that you have new life in Jesus Christ. So you're going to have to be sober and you got to be vigilant. And it isn't self-help. It isn't positive thinking. It's words of life that you have to apply. Amen. I mean, you have, that's the only way you're going to be victorious in this life. He wants to hold you captive and to keep you down so that the light of the gospel won't go out to your friends and family and coworkers. Know this, our old man died spiritually at the moment of our new life in Jesus Christ. And in that instant, we were born again. John 3:3, John 3:7, 1 Peter 23. I miss the late Bob Weston, right? I know from this stage and everywhere Bob would go, he would sing that song, Born Again. And man, I still hear echoes even around my property as he would stay. But man, to remind ourselves that we're born again, we're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer bound to that old sin nature in our life. He wants you to realize Jesus Christ has proclaimed it, and he wants you to realize that you have new life in him, that you have grace in him, that when Jesus Christ came out of the grave, we won. I mean, the victory is ours. There's no reason to live defeated tonight, tomorrow, next week. We have the victory in Jesus Christ. I know we're talking about grace, but I'm telling you, grace has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. I was in one of my theology books from Bible school, Bible college, and Schaefer, you Bible students here with Heartland, maybe you've read some of his material, but in one of his books, I ran across, he talks about 33 things that we receive through grace at the point of salvation. And I want to just mention a few of these that when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life as Lord and Savior, these things don't have to be experienced. You don't have to work for them. You receive them instantly at the point of your salvation. I've been trying over time to exhaust the study as I go through the list, and I'm going to go ahead and pull it up here as I talk. But there's the more that I go through the list, the more that I understand what Christ has given me at salvation, the more empowered I am in my walk with Him. The more I realize that I have all that I need to go out into the world and to reach the lost and to equip the saints, it isn't like we just barely win. I mean, Jesus Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave. He gave us His words of life, and we win, and He gives us exceeding abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. No way would time permit me to expound on each one of these. I only want you to see how loaded that you are with benefit. Randy could probably get you a copy from a book. I have the copy of these things if you would want all the references and all the exhaustive material that goes along with these. There's no way we could cover them all tonight, but I want to just go through a few of these to try to get you to understand what you have with the grace from God in Jesus Christ. I want the believer is in the eternal plan of God. God has a plan set out for this universe, and you have a part in it. Your part here tonight with these Bibles, your part at your workplace, your part in 2019, God has a part, a place in His plan for each one of us, and it's set. It's gonna play out, and that's for you and I. You're redeemed. The believer's purchased out of the slave market of sin, Romans 3:24. You're reconciled. We now have perfect and unending peace with God on the ground and merit of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5. We're forgiven of all trespasses. All trespasses, past, present, and future, are covered, Colossians 2:1. Sin, capacity, co-crucified with Christ. We're placed permanently before God as totally judged in Christ, Romans 6. We're free from the law. The believer does not have to do to be blessed. He does because he is blessed, Romans 6:14, Romans 8, Galatians 5. We're children of God. We're justified. You realize justified, just like we have never sinned before God, Romans 4:1. We're delivered from the powers of darkness, 2 Corinthians 4:3. We're on the rock, Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 3:9. We're a gift from God the Father to Christ. We're partakers of a royal priesthood. We're a chosen generation. We're heavenly citizens, Philippians 3. We're of the family and household of God, Ephesians 2. We're in the fellowship of the saints, Ephesians 4. We have a heavenly association we are partners with Christ in life, in position, in service, in suffering, in prayer, in marriage, in expectation. The list goes on and on. We're within the much more care of God, Romans 5, Ephesians 2. We're His inheritance. We're the light in the world, Ephesians 5:8. We're vitally united to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're blessed with the earnest of the first fruits of the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit. We're indwelt by the Spirit. We're sealed by the Spirit. We're filled with the Spirit. We're complete in Him. Where does it end? Where does all of this I've actually thought about for 2020. I'm blessed to have the opportunity to work with our college and career class, but I'm thinking about doing a podcast or a series just on 33 points of grace. I mean, that would take 3/4 of the year, but I mean, to exhaust each one of these things to truly understand what you and I have in Christ because of grace is so important, because it equips you, it should encourage you, it should exhort you that Satan is a liar. He wants you to think that you don't have power, that you don't have life, that you don't have hope, that you need something else. You need to add something else to your faith. You have all that you need. You're complete in Christ. And according to Ephesians 3:20, I mean, it's exceeding abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. So, for what? You can't add a thing to what Christ did at Calvary. Satan wants you to think that you have to run faster, you have to jump higher, that you have to work harder, that you have to do more. You know, God is saying that, hey, come, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This isn't about doing more. It's about resting in the power and resting in the strength and resting in the grace of God. We're complete in him. On Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ says it's finished any minute. We're complete in him with resurrection power in our lives. That's grace, marvelous grace. We needed grace. I needed grace to pardon and set me free. Oh, grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Grace. I mean, our eternity is settled in heaven, guys. I mean, we have a home in heaven. We're sealed by his grace, by his love, by his mercy. And I don't know. I don't know how much thought, I don't know how much study that you've done on the topic of grace, but we're rich in God's grace. By his grace, he has saved us. We're complete in him. Amazing grace. We win, it's finished. We must go, we must tell, we must shine bright. If it's not us, then who? Because, I mean, we have it all. We have everything we need to accomplish God's plan in this life. I love the theme verse for this conference. When you consider all that we gain with Christ, you begin to understand the significance of this verse about holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. This isn't for naught. You guys haven't spent your week here putting Bibles together for nothing. Your labor is not in vain. God will take this scripture. He'll take the labor of this Bible publishing ministry that you have, and he'll continue to use it to spread his kingdom around the world, that other people can experience this life-changing, this wonderful grace of God. God has given us all we need in this life to finish faithful, okay? I'll say it again. God has given us all we need in this life to finish faithful. Tell your neighbor, wow, amazing grace, right? Wow, amazing grace. We have amazing grace. I'm hoping that you can begin to understand the richness that you have with this thing called grace, and how it's complete. It's all that you need. Mercy. With the time that remains, mercy. Not getting the punishment I deserve. Let's talk briefly about that. you know that cemeteries are proof that all men die, right? I mean, the cost of sin, wherefore as by one man, Romans 5:12 says that sin entered into the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. This is the problem. This is the problem that mankind has, this sin nature that we have. We needed mercy. As awesome as grace is, without mercy, without someone paying that price, what hope do I have? That's where mercy comes in. And that mercy is found in all through your Old Testament. It paints a picture for us. With the sacrificial system, we understand that the priest, he would lay his hand on that spotted lamb, and it would signify the sins of the nation, and then he would slay that lamb, and the blood would be shed, because we know that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins, according to Hebrews 9:22. But that picture in the Old Testament, it was only temporary. I mean, that next year we'd have to do that again, and then we'd have to continually do that again. It was only a temporary sacrifice. Man needed a Savior. Man needed mercy, and that mercy came. We know that mercy came through Jesus Christ. He died in our place. He took our place. He bore our shame. Mercy is not getting the punishment I deserve. Mankind received great mercy at Calvary's cross, and it's still offered to all that will receive it today. Amen? Mercy came. Mercy had a name. Mercy's name was Jesus Christ. Mercy was Jesus Christ on the cross for me, for my sin. He bore my shame. He bore my punishment. He's always in the business of restoring that which was lost. He would lead the 99 to find the one. His mercy illustrates an amazing, endless love. The endless love that he has for you and I. How could we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect, Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and that was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? That's mercy. That's why Jesus came, to seek and save that which was lost. That's why we preach. That's why we go to the mission field. For the sake of the gospel, we do to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he paid our sins debt at Calvary. He loves us. He cares for us. He's left us his word, and that's why we're compelled to go. That's why we preach. That's why I believe you guys are here tonight, because you've experienced that. You know the importance of that. And I just pray that mercy that God has shown to us, that somehow we, through our lives, can communicate that to our friends and our family and our co-workers. Be turning to Philippians 2:16. Philippians 2:16, I believe, is where you guys started this conference out at, talking about the words of life, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, that I have not labored in vain. It's not the self-helps. It's not the positive thinking. It is the word of life. Because of grace, because of mercy, and because of the word of life, we have hope tonight. God wasn't, I said at the beginning that God wasn't just a creator, he was an author. And he left us his word, he left us his book. And I just encourage you to study it, to get to know it, to continue to publish it, to continue to proclaim it. I like to think of the Bible. You know, when the old man comes knocking and he tries to condemn us and he tells us that that we're not good enough, that we need to do more, we'll find the scripture and we'll do battle with him with the word of God. So your armory out back, the little metal building that you guys have with all the equipment in it, that's so fitting for the type of ministry that you have, because I was talking with some guys at lunch today how, as I'm out on the mission field, as we lead teams, as we go out in the community, literally you're going out into enemy territory, and we have some lockers where we keep all these Bibles and books and all the material as we go out locally in Blue Springs. But it's our ammunition. It's how we engage in warfare. It's the only thing, it's the only power that we have to defeat the powers of darkness in this life. And the armory it gives us the ability to wage war on the enemy. I don't know what it would be like to go into battle and you only have two rounds left and you got the enemy storming in. I mean, we need 8,000 Bibles to take out to around the U.S. and around the globe. Shoot, we need more than that. I mean, we're gonna need hundreds of thousands of Bibles to continue this work in this generation. As we think about all those that have gone before us, as we think about the William Careys and the Adoniram Judsons, and we think about how faithfully men have printed and preserved and continue to be faithful to get the word out so that you and I would have them. This is our watch. This is on us now. I mean, this is our generation, and we have to be faithful to continue this ministry. The word is it's not just your weapon for war, but I'd like for you to think of the word as hopefully it's your medicine cabinet for healing. Just like you would, moms, you would go and, you know, you've got your little pharmacy at home for whatever ails the kids, but, you know, we've got a thing in the bathroom, man, and whatever happened with the kids, mom had something in there that was going to make it better. Man, that's the word of God. That hopefully that you can use the word of God as a med kit. I know Doug and Bethany Pearson, we spent time with them. You guys have been on the field with them many times in India, but we have just found how the hurting and the dying people with no hope, how you can open up these words of life, and it gives health, and it gives strength, and it gives power. I met a lady, she's an elderly lady now, but I met a lady in a mountainside in Nepal, and it was away from Rajan, from Kathmandu. We were in another area. And she testified that she literally was going home at night after a hard day's labor. She had some kind of paralysis and ailment in her legs, and she had no strength. She was starving to death. If her legs would not function, she would not be able to sustain her family. And so she testified, and this isn't a story I heard. I'm hearing this lady speak these words to me. She testified that, "Pastor Tom, I was going home that night to nurse my children one more time and die. And lo and behold, this is remote Nepal. There's nothing around. Literally, it's just rice fields and agriculture and mountainsides, no electricity, no running water. But they have these paths between fields. They call them snake paths. It's not, maybe snakes crawl on them, but it looks like a snake path from an aerial view. But she literally, on her way home, she found a piece of paper laying in the snake path. She picked it up, stuck it in her pocket, went home, and while she lay nursing her children, she opened up this piece of paper, and it had words of life. it began telling her about this man named Jesus Christ. It began telling her about how Jesus Christ healed a lame man. This particular, there's no coincidence that God put that on that path at that particular time. She read about, for the first time, she heard about this man, Jesus Christ. These words of life spoke. They administered health and healing to her body. She believed in Jesus Christ. She testifies of a miracle took place. We know it did. We know she's born again. We know that grace came in. But now as an elderly woman, we were there doing a church plant. And she just rejoiced that we finally, you guys finally came, that we have a church in my community. But, I mean, this happened years before we got there with a published Bible, years before. But the word of God, it gives health. I mean, it heals the sick and dying. And then people are out there in 2019. That's still happening and needed today. Let's see. It's a roadmap, right? We take these Bibles. I don't know how you guys use them. I know you're using them in your jail ministry. I know that you use them in your local festivals. But I love taking these Bibles out into the community and telling people. Now, we are out waging war. It is a sword, and we are out battling the enemy. We are battling the mindset of just a humanistic approach that hey, I'm an atheist or there is no God. But at the same time, it gives you direction for life. And I would testify that on a weekly basis right now, we've had the opportunity. It isn't about our church. I'm talking about the word of life. This can happen for you in your workplace, in your town, wherever you go. I promise you, Romans 1:16 is true, that this word is the power. It is the power of God to salvation. If you will just take this word and you will take it into your community, into your parks, into your neighborhoods, into your workplaces, and open it up, you shouldn't be, but you will be surprised at how effective this word is to drive the enemy out. Last weekend, we were in a park. We set aside a certain time every week, and I think all of us should. We're always on, right? We should always be ready. We need to always be ready to share the gospel. But as a church, I don't even know who all is represented here, but you should have a set time that we're going to go out soul winning. And we just go out in the community, and hey, we're out here walking in a park, and this couple's coming toward us, and hey, we just introduce ourselves, and hey, we're out here enjoying this lovely weather, and we're talking to people about heaven and about Jesus Christ, and we have these free Bibles we're giving away. Can we offer you one? It'll tell you about the love of Christ. It'll tell you about the home in heaven. And last weekend, we had a young teenage boy just kneel down on a walking path right here in Jackson County, in the country where I live, you know. Man, you guys live. I have to put my passport in to leave Blue Springs, you know. Praise the Lord, they opened up 7 Highway now. I don't get detoured through the woods. But it's effective. I mean, it's the lost and dying world need to hear the message that's in this book. It is words of life. It is words of hope. Let me advance this here. There we go. And I just challenge you that, let's see. I saw Sam. Sam plays a guitar. When did he learn how to play a guitar? Man, I'm jealous. I saw Jim playing the guitar. You know, my time on the mission field, one thing for you praise singers, man, that's a gift from God. And praise is a universal language. And, man, for you to take that ability, allow God to use what's in your hand and do that, keep doing that. That is so effective when you go out. But with one of these Bibles, I believe right in here somewhere, there's some discipleship lessons that are placed in the front of them. We have a Bibles and Breakfast ministry that we do. We offer, hey, every third Saturday, we're going to come to your clubhouse. We're gonna serve you whatever, Chick-fil-A breakfast or McDonald's, whatever manager worked to deal with us that week. And we're going to give you a breakfast, which we're going to give you the Bible. We're going to talk to you. We're going to share the gospel with you. Last weekend, I was at a man's house, and because of the word of life, because of just faithfully going out in the community and opening this Bible and sharing truth with the ministry teams that we have in our local churches, I was able to begin taking a man through discipleship in the front of one of your Bibles, one of the Bibles that came from this armory. And the way that we're doing this is, I told him that a month ago, I was prepared to go take some guitar lessons over in Blue Springs, and he asked me why he would make a deal with me. He said, "I tell you what, Pastor Tom," he says, I give guitar lessons, but I don't know the Bible. How about if you'll come over here and you'll take me through these lessons in this Bible, and I'll teach you how to play guitar?" So, praise the Lord, man! Watch out, Sam! I'm learning how to play the guitar. I think I can almost play half of "Oh Susanna." You know, I don't know that I'll ever make it big, but you know, the word of life as it goes out, man. I mean, it is just life giving. I'm going to testify one more story here. This same man, for 13 months, get this, 13 months he's coming. Now, I don't know if he just likes breakfast burritos and hash browns, but 13 months, this same man would come to this Bible study, and he would come and get breakfast. He would refuse to take another Bible because he already had several from the different teams that had given them to him. But after the 13th month, he was leaving the study, and his countenance, you know, he was kind of hunched over, and he's leaving with no hope. And we had the opportunity to talk to him and minister to him, and he believed in Jesus Christ. He believed that the Bible was the Word of God. He didn't dispute. There was no doctrinal disputes about the message that we were proclaiming. He just felt like, you know what, guys? He says, I'm a sinner, and I believe that I deserve hell. I don't think God had let me into his heaven. And, man, we asked him for the opportunity. He said, "Man, could we sit down with you and show you what the Word of God says about your sin? Can we talk to you about grace? Could we tell you about mercy? Would you let us just show you and then let you make an informed decision?" And, you know, halfway through, flipping through the pages, this man's countenance, as he sat in his chair, I mean, tears start just streaming down this guy's face, and he looks at us, he says, "Pastor Tom, I believe God would let me into his heaven." You know, we haven't even prayed yet, but he's just like, "I think God would let me in." And we're like, "Steve, he so will." And so we continued to show him just that plan of salvation, that gospel good news. And in that moment, after 13 months of hearing the gospel and receiving the word, you know what? This man, this word of life, brought new life into his life. And so, man, why do I go? Why do I tell? Why do I press on? It's just that I absolutely know that I hold the truth of the Word of God. I know that God's Word is true. I have seen it transform lives over and over and over. And I'm compelled to go. I can't stop. And I would just encourage you to, man, tell that old man that he's got a new landlord now. You know, live in that grace that God wants you to. Just understand the mercy that we received, and know that this word of life, it's one thing, man, it's one thing to publish it. It's one thing to work a whole week to assemble it. And I know that each part of the body has different functions. But I would just encourage you, man, open it up. Open it up at your workplace. Open it up with your neighbor. Open it up with your family. and let the Word of God do the work, and watch what the Holy Spirit of God will do through it. So I thank you guys for this ministry. I thank you for this church. I thank you that it truly is an armory that equips us, that tools us up, that we can take. We take thousands of these. I mean, I could just sit here. I'm already negative two. That's bad, Julie. I'm negative 2 minutes. But I could testify to you hundreds since 2016, I think, whenever, maybe Randy, when we ran our first 1,000. But I could testify to you hundreds of people, hundreds. I don't have to exaggerate how awesome God is. His word is just that powerful. His grace is that good. His mercy is that great. But people that have come to Christ all over the world from Bibles that have been printed right here on this property. We don't just handle them. We just don't lay hands on them. But we're out experiencing new life all over the globe. Central America, South America, Asia, the Caribbean. I mean, right here in our own state, the word of life, the word of God continues to do the work. And so, man, don't stop. Don't stop doing this. Be faithful. Be faithful to what God has called you to do. And I look forward to, hearing the vision of just the future of this ministry. I look forward to what God's going to continue to do. It's a privilege to be a co-laborer with you guys. So praise the Lord. Yeah, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for the word, bro. Thank you for bringing a good message tonight, and a message of grace, right, and mercy, and an encouragement to hold forth the word of God. I want to encourage you guys. I don't think I did a good job of introducing our brother, because to really get hold of everything he said, you got to realize he is not about just assembly, though he's about that. He's about getting the Bible where it needs to go, and so this brother and his wife and the ministry that God's entrusted to him at Harvest under the leadership of Pastor Alan Shelby, they travel the world with what we're producing here. And he's not embellishing that. He takes Gospels and John and Romans. We did a campaign with him last summer. I think it was 100. Each of us was going to witness 100 times. We each had 100. We were responsible for 100 John and Romans. These are your John and Romans. Go ye therefore and lead people to Christ. And it happened. Sam, did you lead anyone to Christ? I can't remember. You're the only one. He's the only one. He's too busy practicing his guitar. But anyway, man, it was a great time. Because I think almost everybody but one led someone to Christ that trip. But it was awesome. I mean, it was really good, because the reality is that it doesn't do us any good, does it, to have all this ammo if we don't go out and shoot it. Right? And it's just the basics, man, blocking and tackling. I was talking with Mike a few days ago, and we were just talking about the basics. You got to do the basics, right? Once we have the word, we got to get the word out. And so, you know, in 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul calls Timothy, you know, to be an example of the believers, you know, in word and conversation with the love and the charity that he was to have. And, you know, that's really what we all need to do with what we're given. And I'm looking forward to seeing that. So I think maybe tonight, right, we've been strenuously working to get the Word of God published, and we need to do that. But we also need to tonight consider, maybe God's pulling up a little bit. We've gotten more volume done in less time than ever. It's miraculous. It's like, whoa. And everybody has put their hand to the plow, and I don't mean just Heartland, of course. I mean everybody. All the sister churches, all of us have just come together. It's been Philadelphian and beautiful. But one of the reasons I think God may be doing that is just to encourage us and to give us a little rest as we finish up, because we got to get these things out. We got to get them out. We got to get them where they need to go. I know right here at HBF we have a harvest party right around the corner, right? And we got to get out. We got to get the word out. And these are this is tools that we use to connect people to the gospel. So make sure that we're doing that. So tonight, I don't want to tarry any longer. I want to thank the families that have come out. I want to thank the kids, man. The kids have been awesome. Praise the Lord. Man, give them some love. Awesome. I mean, there's kids all over. If I was a child in this setting, I'd probably be running up and down the aisles, getting spanked, taken out of the building. Man, they're just sitting there. You've already spanked them. I know. Giving them NyQuil. Whatever you did, I don't know. But no, they're doing good. Just keep them out of the glue sniffing area. All right. So no, it's been a beautiful time, and that was a good message. Grace, mercy, and holding, not just holding the word, right? Holding forth. You know, that's not backwards. That's forth. Right? We're to walk in wisdom, what? Toward them that are without. You know, we've got to go forward. So God is calling us to take the word of God that he has given to us and go forward, hold forth the word of God. That is what God is calling us to do, and to take it from this to the next step. So I pray that Tom said some things that were really challenging. He said every church should have a time when they do this. Every Christian should have a time. So what are we doing practically? What are you doing? And I know in our church, we have an event coming up here just in a few weeks where we're going to literally take the word forth in our community. And it is about, again, by faith, getting the word where it needs to go, being willing to open it up with someone, just as Tom encourages to open up the word of God, to share. And there's all kinds of different avenues and ways to do it, but the reality is we still got to do it. You got to show up and you got to do it, and you got to say, you can't wait on Pastor Tom to do it or Pastor so-and-so to do it. You and I, all of us individually, have to be willing to go. And it's a faith thing, man. You got to press through it because you will not feel like doing it. But you got to. Not for your sake, but for the sake of those that need to hear the word of God. And there's a reason that's difficult. It's because it's a spiritual transaction, man. And you've got to, it's the grace and the mercy of God that you received that will get you into that place where God will use even you. Right? And so, man, I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to not only assemble the word, but man, let's assemble as a congregation in your local churches to go forth and give forth the word. Hold forth the word of God. Will you agree to do that? Amen. Let's stand together in a word of prayer. Let's stand up and let's give God some glory. And Randy, is he going to give us an update here? Let's have Randy. Why don't you give us a quick update, Randy, and then pray us out. And we'll get back to work tonight. We got a little bit left to do. We got 15%. So we got to keep our hand on the plow. Amen.
All right. So just before we pray, yeah, there's still work to be done. 15% sounds like a little number, but there's a lot of work. Yeah, so, and I'm just random guessing that I'm horrible at math. So maybe it's 25%. I don't know. But the point is this. If you haven't done anything yet, or if you think, well, I'm going to wait until tomorrow, I'll come back tomorrow, Wednesday night, and don't do that. If you want to get your hands on scriptures, you need to do it now, because it won't be here when you come back tomorrow night. Well, it will be here, it'll be in a box, but there won't be anything for you to do. But there's still plenty. We have two rooms that still need to have rolling done. There's a lot of material there. There's the checking still needs to be done. Over in the library, that's where we're staging everything that goes into the binder. But there is a task over there because we need to insert the discipleship lessons into each of the Bibles that come over after they've been checked. So that's one last step before they go to the binder. So we need all three of those rooms, four of those, I told you I know math, four rooms filled with people. And then we need people on the binder. One of the binders is in need of some servicing, so it won't be running for probably a while, maybe later on before we get out of here by 10 o'clock. But we need several people over there, and we need help on the trimmer, boxing everything up and hauling it up here onto the platform. So there's still a lot of work to do. But if you leave tonight and you come back tomorrow, it'll all be done, and then you'll be sad. So if you didn't get your hands on it, you'll be glad if you did. Anyway, so that's what's going on. That's what needs to be done. And I'm just really, I do really rejoice over the amount of work that we've gotten accomplished so far. And I was thinking, though, as Brian was talking and as Tom was preaching, one of the things that is really interesting about how the conference kind of ebbs and flows, and then we're finishing up a little bit early. Last year we was like, we're not going to get it done. We're going to be here until eternity comes. And it just ebbs and flows like that. But as I was sitting here, I was thinking, okay, we got a lot done here, But there's still a need. The need, even though what we need, wouldn't it be great if we still had another 1,000 Bibles to put together? If I just had one more Bible to put together, there'd be one more person that would have heard the word of Christ. If we'd had one more Bible. So it's great that we've got 9,000 plus done here. But if we'd just had one more, somebody else would have got a Bible. If we'd had 10 more, somebody else would have got a Bible. So I'm glad that we get the work done. But as I'm reminded as we're finishing up, there's still a whole lot of work left to be done. So let's pray about that and let's get busy. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for